The foolproof path to not having a life worth living. This article deals with what makes life good, what makes life worth living, and what doesn't. No exceptions. By the way, so let's start. Humans want something to thrive for. Humans want to feel that tomorrow will be better than today. When they can't feel it, they feel that life isn't good. But how to have a life worth living? The totally unorthodox way to set a direction for your life that works better than anything I have ever observed. What I set up for myself back in 1997 is still working, and working well. Another one that I set about 3 years ago still has power, so I won't be able to use my own example. I'll have to use clients' examples. Before I go and show you the unorthodox way, let's look at what is being taught and touted as something that works, even though most have already experienced that it doesn't work. The orthodox way to move yourself forward is to set something in the future and attempt to move towards it. Like a goal. Double my business by next year tax date. Or something like that. Bad things happen as a result. 1. The target is scary, looks too far away, and you don't know what to do first. 2. You view your life and yourself as not yet. Which is not a happy state. And when you, by chance, reach the target, you feel lost after the approximately 3 minutes of celebration. Unless you set a next target, you are lost. 3. Oscillating structures. This one needs explaining. The distinction is from Robert Fritz. And you need to imagine yourself standing in the middle of a room with two rubber bands around your waist. One rubber band is attached to the wall in front of you, the other hand to the wall behind you. The walls represent what you don't want and what you do want. Because of the two bands, you oscillate between the two walls, never getting away from what you don't want, and never getting to what you do want. 4. Vague. You are not quite clear what you want. And anything that is not clear, you can't get to. Truth be told, some people do well with setting goals, using goals like steps of a staircase, and gain life from it. It is more in their base nature to stretch, to grow. These people are about 1% of the population. I am not one of them, and if you are reading this, my hunch you are not part of that 1% either. The rest of us are on a spectrum. For example, I am naturally curious. Curiosity, like is the sky for trees, it pulls the trees upwards. I hear curiosity operates strongest in areas where you already have some knowledge. I was raised in an intellectual family, and it provided a lot of supper conversation type shallow knowledge that then could foster curiosity, the desire to know more. The same happens with books. Every book creates some knowledge, and fosters curiosity, to learn more. Despite my dyslexia, I have been an avid albeit slow reader all my life. My younger brother was born into the television era and is not curious. Curiosity is, we could say, when something inside says, I want to know more. Curiosity, in the context of going towards or going away, is strangely a going away energy, going away from dullness, half knowledge, not knowing, lifelessness, boredom, deadness. One of my students said the other day that my motivation is to go away from depression. Depression is the feeling that nothing interesting, inspiring, sparkling, funny, alive, glorious, hopeful is coming. Ever. Most people live ordinary lives that would be like death to me. The joke I tell every time I have a chance about the dude who goes to his rabbi seeking advice to live long. The rabbi thinks for a while, and then says, go home. Kiss your wife. Sleep with your wife. Get up in the morning, kiss your wife, have breakfast, go to work, after work go home, kiss your wife, eat supper and sleep with your wife. Do this every day. The dude, hopefully asks, and that will make me live long? I don't know about that, says the rabbi, but it will feel long. And when you look at my life, it does look like a lot like that, it looks dull from the outside. But inside I live a rich life, full of curiosity and growth. If you are on my site, reading this article, my sense is that you are not happy with your life. Happiness is accepting things the way you are, including yourself. And if you are not happy, that means that something falls short from what you'd prefer. Your life does not satisfy you, because it is not the way you want it to be. What is likely there? There is desire to have more, be more, and then there is the comfort of a dull and nearly dead life, inside and outside. There is nothing to look forward to. Your muscles, your brain, your ingenuity aren't challenged, and you feel stuck. The comfort, like mud, encases you, and you are not willing to leave it for something that is unpredictable. And not boring. It's everybody. Myself included. But to me, boredom, stagnant, dead is so unbearable, being reasonable, being normal are so stomach-churning, that eventually I build up the energy to leave the powerful pulling force of comfort and predictability. You may say, but Sophie, I am not motivated by what I don't want. I call BS on that. Every human is motivated most by what they don't want. It is an essential element of life to have a strong and unpleasant feeling associated with what you don't want. When you are hungry, that is in a way energy. The fact that you learn to crave certain foods is a new and learned element, like your learned helplessness. It is not innate. When you are hungry, any food will attract you. Desire, all desire, is not innate for humans. Wow, that sounds really pretentious. But muscle test says it's true. All desires are therefore learned, and come from the mind. The mind that renders humans not live in life, not live naturally. Very rich people are not motivated by the desire for money. They are motivated by the pain of not enough. Sexual desire is nothing else but the pain in your loins. That demands relief. You may need to relearn to feel. Every feeling is negative, unpleasant, some even painful. And every emotion is an interpretation of a feeling. Desire is an emotion. The words underneath it are something like this: if I could have / do this, then I'd be happy. As in arrived, no more pain. But feelings are part of life. Notice the capital L: feelings are guidance, desire, emotions are misguidance. As in separating you from the guidance, from life. The more you trust the mind, the less you are in a dance with life. The more you trample on life. The grass doesn't grow where you walk. And, as I said, all the guidance that life can give you is a going away from energy. Everything else is limiting. Let's take sexual energy. Some will go and hunt for a partner. Some will do whatever they can do on their own to address the need. And some will get busy and successful in some endeavor using that same powerful energy. Same with hunger. Same with boredom. Same with fear. Same with every guidance feeling. But most of us will first interpret it and turn it into an emotion instead of using the guidance. I know people who don't feel any guidance feelings. Or when they do, they consider it wrong, and all they want to do is fix it. Scramble to fix it. It actually takes intelligence to interact with the guidance such that it can shine as guidance. But, in our inane Homo sapiens culture, where 70% of humanity subscribe to the notion that anything unpleasant is negative, that even paying attention to what is unpleasant is against life. Moronic notion. Paying attention and heeding guidance is so rare that you can be really a king of this land of the blind if you have one working eye. It is hard to tell from the outside what motivates people who actually work towards and achieve something. One thing I have noticed: they are rarely pleasant people. That doesn't mean being unpleasant will make you an achiever. But being pleasant almost certainly makes you a non-achiever. Your first job is to get in touch with feelings and allow them to just be there, so you have time to just experience them. If you interpret them, i.e. give them any meaning, you now feel the meaning, not the guidance. Emotions are not guidance. You feel sad, jealous, angry, lonesome, fearful. Do they guide you? To a quick fix, maybe, guide you to the bottle, or to killing, or to death. But it is not real guidance. Real guidance is always on the side of life. Guidance to be strong, to be informed, to be connected, to be self-sufficient, to be a contribution, to be an integrity. One of the crucial elements in this is the ability and willingness to take responsibility for everything that belongs to you. To not put blame on anything and anyone, including yourself. Blame takes the power away from you and renders you not able to respond to guidance. The question, what did I do? What conversation do I consider the truth? What did I take for certain? What did I say that got me in this position? And if you can look and see, then you can see readily what the guidance is telling you. And then you can act. Because you have all the power to do what the guidance says you need to do. Of course, in some areas of life this is more obvious than others. For example, allergies. You have symptoms. And you want no symptoms. No sneezing, no itchy eyes, no hives, none of that. So the allergist puts you on an elimination diet, eliminating all the stuff you are not allergic to, so you will left with what to leave out of your diet. I have clients with thyroid dysfunction. Same thing. You need to drop foods that slow down or kill the thyroid gland, instead of all the fixing moves most people make. You are fat? Find out what behavior or what food makes you fat, and just eliminate it. People don't like you? You don't take actions? Find out what is there and stop doing it. When you use the energy system I created, the HO, the effortless abundance, and the unconditional love activators, it is all elimination technology, in line with life. I have a client who is a scaredy cat. Instead of heeding the guidance of the fear, i.e. fear tells you that you are little, small, and start growing. He goes with the fear. He tries to fix it by shrinking more. Most fear is a guidance by life to choose life or death. But the mind interprets it as a command to hide, to shrink, to fade into the background. But it really tells you, choose life. Choose growing. Choose to fight for your life. Choose to live while you are alive. The job of the 48 Ho energies is to sever the connection between the emotions and the guidance feelings. So you can become astute, with life, alive. Instead of a bunch of emotions. A little girl. An effect. The effortless abundance activator, in addition to that, has the inspiring energies that can give you wings. And the unconditional love activator gently reduces the gap and animosity between your two selves, who you actually are and who you fancy you should be. All 202 energies make thoughts thoughts, and feelings feelings. Instead of collapsing them into an unmanageable mess. Instead of making you a little reactive tyrant. Obviously this is a relearning process. When I was in Israel, they taught us that we already knew everything before we were born, but at birth they whacked us and we forgot everything. Who? What? WTF? If you are an atheist like me. Lol. But to my utter surprise, learning Hebrew was a remembering experience. A rediscovery. As is what I am teaching on this blog and in my classes. Teaching what I rediscovered. Even though I know I never literally knew them. But it seems some part of me did. Don't ask, I don't understand how that is possible, but that is the experience. Anyway, I am introducing this whole methodology in my newest class, Phase 1 of the 3-Prong Method of Growth, Becoming All You Can Become. Obviously, if you can't feel your feelings but instead you jump to emotions without ever feeling guidance, your first job is to use the energies to temper that tendency. If you don't, that class will be horrible for you. Why? Because you are probably dull with low intelligence and low vibration. Due to emotions. And in that class you'll need to be a lot sharper, a lot more astute, a lot less plugged up by emotions, interpretations, already knowing, beliefs, and other stupid ways of relating to the world. When I look, in some ways I want to be like a dog, or a ferret, or a dam building beaver. I don't care if lazy, complacent, dumb people call me eager beaver, it is exciting, full of life, and wouldn't trade it for anything. I do things fully. I pay attention fully. I listen fully. I read fully. I do my work with full investment of my energies, nothing held back. I love you fully when I love you, I am angry fully when I am angry, I rest fully, I exercise fully. I have never seen a beaver in life. But I am one. And to some degree I am also a skunk. I won't let you too close. I am okay with being like that. Okay. The question is, what should you do now if you want to escape the life you don't like? If you have the energies, use them generously. If you can, drink them in your beverages. I play them with the water energizer in my refrigerator, I infuse them, when I remember, in my drinking/cooking water. I play it in the background 24/7. Life is too short to be miserable. I say, and I say no to that. I worded it in a way that works well for me, there is no f-ing way I am going to be anything less than magnificent. Hear the future tense. It is not one of those delusional statements that says, I am magnificent. I know intimately what not magnificent is. And make moves to avoid being that. It is like this, to know goodness, unknowable, you need to know evil intimately. To know magnificence, you need to know what is not magnificent intimately. And that is the secret to a good enjoyable life. Choice 1, the transformative energies. https://yourvibration.thrivecart.com/infusible/available-tonight-till-midnight. Choice 2, the 3-prong method course. https://www.yourvibration.com/3-prong. Choice 3, keep on trying to fix yourself and life. And prove me wrong.